That is a baby's heart beating inside the womb. You can't listen to that sound and not feel like it's a miracle. But sometimes that miracle takes a lot of time, money, and heartache. Well, from KCRW, I'm Matt Holzman, and this is The Document, looking at the world through the lens of documentary film.
40 million infected people is a plague!
Two of us were sexually assaulted before classes had even started.
Oh, a crypto-Nazi I can think of is yourself.
Stormtroopers, you're not smiling!
What is The Document? Well, it's a new kind of mashup between radio and documentaries. In today's episode, a filmmaker captured some pretty extreme attempts to start a family while she was recording her own journey to get pregnant. I call this episode Baby Steps. A warning, this is a grown-up topic, and there's some salty language and anatomical references. If you listen with your kids, you're probably going to have some explaining to do. Amanda McKaylee was raised in Boston by career-minded people, and she grew up to be a career-minded person herself, making kick-ass documentaries about kick-ass women. Her movie Double Dare is about Hollywood stuntwomen, and she was nominated for an Oscar for her short about a beauty pageant in a Colombian prison. Like a lot of career women, she'd been hitting the snooze button on her biological alarm clock for years.
I had no idea how hard it would be to have a baby at 39. And that's what I did. I decided at 39. I thought, you know, I'm that kind of girl who always goes to the restaurant right before it closes and figures I can get my order in before right before the kitchen closes. But with fertility, apparently it doesn't work that way.
At first, Amanda thought, if it happens, it happens. When it didn't happen, it hit her how much she really did want to have a baby. But the chances did not look good. A fertility specialist told her that in addition to her advanced maternal age, her husband Eric had an inexplicably low sperm count. And the only way they could get pregnant was through IVF, in vitro fertilization. What's IVF? Well, it's complicated. But basically, they take eggs from a woman and sperm from a man. They put the two together in a lab and try to grow an embryo. If it works, they implant the tiny baby-to-be back inside the woman. The problem is it's as much art as science, and it can fail at every step of the way.
I had two friends who at 40 had done IVF and had success on their first attempt. So my data pool of two led me to believe that I had a good chance. And the doctors also told me that I had a good chance because I quote unquote looked good for my age in the ovary department. So I think I got a little cocky, to be honest.
Even though their chances were really less than 20%, Amanda and Eric gambled something like $20,000 of their savings on a cycle of IVF. It didn't work. She was devastated, and they considered giving it one more try if they could find the money. So she started looking online for IVF loans, believe it or not. And that's when she came across a Las Vegas fertility clinic that sponsors a controversial IVF contest.
Well, you've heard of contests to win a cruise or an iPad, but have you ever heard of winning a free baby?
The Share Institute in Las Vegas
has a national contest.
All you have to do to enter is share the most intimate details of your life on YouTube.
We, you know, bought everything we needed to be ready for a baby. And
it's been sitting here empty for...
Now?
For almost 3 years.
Just to be clear, these contestants don't win a baby. They win one try to have a baby using IVF. Now, Amanda was not about to enter the contest, but she started to see the whole thing as a perfect metaphor for the pain of infertility and the hope peddled by the billion-dollar reproductive medicine industry. And of course, she's a documentary filmmaker, and she'd had this personal experience, so she decided to make a movie about it. She asked the clinic if she could bring in her cameras, and they said, fine. And then she made a deal with the contestants. If you share your story, I'll share mine. And she started a personal video diary, beginning with her regular hormone shots.
Insert the entire length of the needle into the skin, and at 45...
Oh, look at that picture!
Once the needle is inserted, you may release the pinched skin and push the plunger in a slow, steady motion until all the medication is injected.
Okay, I have to say, I'm a chicken. There's so many things I'm tough about, but this is not one of them. Okay, it's not as bad. It's definitely not as bad as I made it out to be. But okay, first one down, first real day of shooting tomorrow. Very exciting.
You can hear how hopeful Amanda was when she started this journey, despite the odds. But she had no idea she'd be keeping these diaries for the next 5 years, and she couldn't have imagined what was in store for her and her husband and their relationship, which may be why she's never worked up the nerve to listen to her diaries. She'll be hearing them here for the first time with all of you.
I don't know how to start this one. It's almost like saying it here makes it real, which is why I'm having a hard time saying it. Eric, my husband was diagnosed with testicular cancer, and tomorrow morning he's having emergency surgery to have his right testicle removed. And so they suggested that he go bank more sperm on the way to his cancer appointment. And you can imagine he was not really in the mood for a romantic date with a Dixie cup, but he was a trooper and he went and did it. I can't picture what the future holds, you know? It's like, I can't, that's, I think, the hardest part. I can't picture where this is gonna all end up.
Not to worry, Eric responded well to treatment. His sperm, not so much. So the stakes for this cycle of IVF were very high. Luckily, from 14 cultivated eggs, the lab grew 2 viable embryos, and they started the implantation process with a little guy named A2.
Okay, today is the big day. My first embryo transfer. A2, gonna get a chance at life.
So if you could just confirm your name and your birth date for me, that would be terrific.
It's Amanda McKaylee, 6/15/1972.
Fantastic. All right, and we are transferring one embryo. I'll be right back.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I had my 42nd birthday on Sunday. I feel okay about that. I'm trying to go from nervous to excited. It's very hard to put out of my mind the struggles that I've witnessed of all the women that I'm filming. Got a call from my doctor saying that I'm not pregnant. It's really disappointing. And it's funny, like I started to feel kind of nauseous this morning and I thought, ooh, maybe that's a sign. But they were like, you'll get your period in the next couple days. Awesome.
Amanda tried with a second embryo, but that wasn't successful either. And that's basically how it went, up and down, for years.
We actually have very good news. I'm feeling hopeless. I'm trying to imagine that it could work and it could be okay. We're feeling positive. It's a 10% chance of getting pregnant. It's the night before my first pregnancy test ever. I'm trying to keep my perspective and it might be fine. Negative pregnancy test. I'm on a little bit of a downward spiral. Good news, Eric is 2 years cancer-free, trying to look for things to celebrate, and that is a big one. But yeah, I don't really see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Today is my 43rd birthday, and guess what I got for my birthday today? My period!
You're listening to The Document from KCRW. We'll continue with Amanda McKaylee's IVF journey in a minute.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Listening to The Document from KCRW, I'm Matt Holzman. Today's episode is Baby Steps. Amanda McKaylee's new film, Vegas Baby, is about a contest for an expensive infertility treatment. But while she was filming other hopeful parents' desperate attempts to get pregnant, she was going through the same thing herself. And she kept a video diary of her 5-year journey.
I had an interesting week last week. I survived a baby shower. A very, very good friend of mine and colleague of mine. And I didn't cry and I was totally happy.
So that was good. And then I got a new comment. I guess maybe I've gotten this one before, but this was another one to add to the list of don't say this to infertile people. But I ran into a friend of mine who has two kids, and they said they were sort of complaining about the work responsibilities and the money responsibilities, and they looked at me and my husband and said, "You don't have kids, you guys can do whatever you want." And I just kind of laughed.
One of my mentors also went through an infertility experience. The way he described it, I thought was perfect. He said, when you're going through this, everything around you feels like sandpaper. It's just family and babies everywhere. And it's just, it's abrasive to your soul. Just walking down the street and just constantly being surrounded by fertile people, you feel different and you feel left out.
I went on Instagram just for a minute because sometimes that makes me feel better. Just look at pictures from my friends, and I instantly unfollowed at least two people who are just constantly posting pictures of babies. I was like, ugh, I just don't want to see your fucking baby right now.
Amanda was now in her 40s. Her eggs were getting older, and there was a dwindling supply of her husband's sperm in the freezer. Doctors gave them less than a 10% chance of conceiving with IVF. But with financial help from Amanda's family, she and Eric decided to give it one last shot. Again. And this time, they beat the odds. Amanda got pregnant for the first time in her life, and she even heard the heartbeat of an embryo called C2.
It's funny. We had a good omen this morning. I've been setting our alarm to Eric's iPod, which means we get a very eclectic Russian roulette of songs to wake up to in the morning. And this morning, this really perky, anthemic song by Flash in the Pan from 1980 called Welcome to the Universe came on. And I'll play it for you, but it's a great little welcome song for C2. A little bit of apocalypse, but I think that's appropriate given our modern world. So, Welcome to the Universe, C2. We're ready for you, and we're hoping that you'll stick around. Here we go. Welcome to the universe. Take your partner for the biggest show in town. Welcome to the universe. Better hurry, cause there isn't too much time before the stars fall down. Not a good day today. We went for our 10-week ultrasound yesterday and saw the fetus had developed a lot, but had no heartbeat. So that's that. You know, it was just wild to see. I mean, had little feet and it's just a trip. It really looked like a little person. We're just grieving and definitely feels like somebody died.
The question for a couple after a loss like this is, how do you move forward?
Every single decision that you have to make is fraught, and there's no right or wrong choice. When do you change course? Do you try again? Is it worth trying again? Are the odds worth it? You know, should you switch to an egg donor? Should you consider adoption? Should you be childless? It is incredibly common that couples, even if they start out on the same page, will diverge at some point. And I think that's one thing that a lot of people don't realize is the toll that this can take on a relationship. It's so hard. It's so hard to get on the same page. I mean, even if both people want exactly the same thing, you're put under so much strain. Your doctor takes over the most intimate part of your relationship in your bedroom, literally. Your doctor takes over your wallet. You feel very disempowered, and a lot of couples don't make it through.
There was one question I had never had the nerve to ask Amanda, and I know some of you are thinking it too. That question is, why? Why go through all of this? Why not just accept the fact that having a kid is just not in the cards?
There's a lot of judgments around infertility, and I probably was as guilty of that as anyone. Before I went on this journey, I think I had a stereotype in my mind of the kind of person that would go to these lengths to have a child. And I think my husband shared the same thing, that we thought, oh, those people are desperate. Those people are narcissistic or selfish or obsessed, child-obsessed people. And I think anyone who knows me and my husband would not describe us that way. So it's been eye-opening for me to really understand what that desire is and how deep that desire is and how much you don't know what you're willing to go through, right or wrong. Once you start on this journey, it's a bit of a rabbit hole. And one thing that's been important to me in this process is to never say never, because I don't know what the Amanda of next month or next year is going to think or feel, because until you've been through this, it's very hard to know what your boundaries are.
I'm sitting outside my doctor's office, my baseline ultrasound for my, I'm not proud to say it, my third round of IVF. I never thought we would, do this once. After doing it once, I didn't necessarily think I'd do it again, but I felt compelled to do it again. And now here we are trying a third time.
This time, the doctor recommended using an egg donor. The odds of conceiving with a young, healthy egg would be much higher than with Amanda's eggs, but it was a leap they never thought they'd take. Recruiting a third person, a stranger, to help their very personal quest to procreate. After a year of talking about it in therapy, Amanda and Eric agreed to give it a try.
Okay, it's April 19th, 2017, and 5 years in to this struggle, I am cautiously optimistic on the eve of our pregnancy test. My husband is hanging in there, even though this wasn't his first choice or even his last choice for how to start a family. Even though this is kind of insane, I feel okay. So I'm in a public women's bathroom at the Las Vegas airport on my way to the Vegas premiere of our documentary, and I just got the call that I have a positive pregnancy test. So I'm happy. I'm not high-fiving because I know we have a long way to go, but yeah, I'm pregnant. Heartbeat?
No need for suspense.
Oh my God. Wow. That's cool. Can we hear that location sound again?
Oh, you want to do that again?
Do you mind? It is June 1st, 2017, and I did my last injection last night, and I've been feeling nauseous. I've never been so happy to feel nauseous in my life, because it does feel like a pregnancy symptom. I'm 10 weeks pregnant. Just even saying that, I'm like, yeah, I'm pregnant. It's like I'm finally coming around to embracing it, believing it. I've been a little anxious in between doctor's visits, but just trying to be patient. But yeah, I guess this is the first time that I've been able to say I feel pregnant. And I can't really extrapolate that towards the future yet, but it's a big shift for me. It's like, no pun intended, baby steps.
Recently, Amanda McKaylee left the fertility clinic for a regular old OBGYN. And on June 14th, she emailed a picture from the parking lot outside her doctor's office. She's holding a black and white ultrasound image of a tiny baby looking very much like it's taking a little nap. And written across a piece of lined paper behind it, the doctor has written, "It's a boy."
The thing about this is, yes, I'm pregnant and that's a happy ending. But the more important thing is my marriage didn't fall apart. And that is, to me, the happiest thing and the messiest thing. Because, you know, in Hollywood stories, the happy ending is very clean and simple. And Eric and I are kind of more coming out of the jungle bruised and bloodied. And the fact that we can still look at each other and smile and love each other is a fucking victory.
You emailed a piece of audio with no explanation, and it was just a crying baby. And I wonder if you can tell me what that was about.
Well, last week I went for my first trimester blood work, and I was sitting there, and all of a sudden in the next room, this child completely lost its mind, and I don't know what they were doing to this child. They must have been giving it a shot or taking blood, and it was like, just like losing its mind completely. And I did have one of those moments where I was like, oh my God, what did I sign up for? But hopefully I won't have huge regrets after this.
Oh, I'm sure you will, but that's just being a parent. And that's The Document for this week. Next time on the program, a musician's voice gets lower as he transitions from female to male, but the biggest changes are happening to the people around him. For more information about what you heard on today's show, including links to Amanda McKaylee's amazing film, Vegas Baby, and information about infertility, go to kcrw.com/thedocument. There's also information about the clips and the intro to today's show. If you want to communicate with us, send us an email at thedocument@kcrw.org or get social at DocumentKCRW on Facebook or Twitter. I'm Matt Holzman, and I produce today's show with Amanda McKaylee, Sarah Pellegrini, Mike Schlitt, Bridget Kelly, and Ray Guarna. Gary Scott is KCRW's program director. The Document is a production of KCRW.